So, Tim, you've written about the centre's proposal. Can you take us through some of the positives you believe would come from these school measurements?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think you've got to distinguish between two different sorts of things. One's called screening, body mass index screening, or BMI screening. And the idea there is to identify kids who are at risk, or who are overfat, and to tell them, their parents, the schools, about it so that something can be done. And the other is BMI surveillance, which consists just of taking measures but not giving results to the parents or the kids or the teachers. And the idea of the second one is to get good data on the prevalence and the temporal and the spatial distribution, geographical distribution of overweight and obesity in Australia. It's the second proposal, surveillance proposal, that the Deakin Group, I'm not a member of the Deakin Group, by the way, that the Deakin Group are suggesting. So what we're weighing up here really is the benefit that we can gain from nationwide, highly accurate data, high reliable data on childhood overweight and obesity against the risks of triggering and sensitising body image concerns in children. The benefits are undoubted. It's just be tremendous data set. Just to give you just a few examples. So, there's been a lot of studies recently about the use of early antibiotics in children in association with obesity, suggesting that kids who are subjected to antibiotic treatment early on are more likely to become obese. If we can get data on kids and link those data to health records, then we can test that hypothesis. There's been talk of associations between particulate air pollution and obesity in kids. If we know where the kids live and their exposure to air pollution and their obesity, we can check that hypothesis. Well, I go on all day. There are hundreds of them. The risks, on the other hand, are the risks, as I mentioned, that kids will be sensitised, that they'll be triggered, if you like, by the weight measurement. There have been a few studies done on this, not many, but a few, which have had a look at kids before and after the introduction of population-wide compulsory weight and height measurements, particularly in Arkansas and in the UK. And they've found no net increase in bullying or teasing or dieting or body image concerns. That's not to say that some children won't be more distressed by it, but it just means that others will be less distressed by it. They'll consider it to be normalising. So my opinion is that on balance, for the surveillance as opposed to the screening, the benefits outweigh the costs.
Right. Well, before you mentioned how they'll be recording the BMI, the BMI has largely been criticised as a way of truly measuring health. It's not entirely accurate. Do you believe this proposal should broaden its measurement methodology?
At an individual level, it's true that body mass index can be misleading simply because it doesn't distinguish between how much fat we've got and how much fat-free mass or muscle mass we've got. So in adults, if you're a rugby player or a weightlifter, for example, you may be classified as obese, even though you have low levels of body fat. That's not such a big problem with kids. But at an individual level, it's not the ideal measurement. But at a population level, it's fine. Everybody accepts that BMI at a population level is great. If you're measuring 100 kids, then you're going to get a good idea of how many of them are fat. But it's quite possible to replace with more sophisticated measures. For example, they have a method called bioelectrical impedance analysis, BIA, where you just stand on a scale, it passes a weak electric current through you, and it gives an even more accurate measure of your body fat. So you could do that if you like. It's just a little bit more technical, a little bit more expensive. But certainly at a population level, body mass index is fine as a measure.
With children around the primary school age, which we're talking about, who will have their weight recorded, they're rarely in charge, though, of what they consume and what exercise they do. That's usually up to their parents. Should the focus instead be working with parents to create healthier households rather than working on this schoolyard BMI?
Right. Just remember what I said about surveillance and screening here, Nathaniel, that no information is sent back to the parents at all. So this is not a way of identifying children overweight individually.
Of course,
but addressing either at school level or at the home level. This is simply a matter of getting population level distributions on the prevalence and distribution of overweight and obesity.
Of course, but should the focus rather be on what people are doing at the home rather than working out the weight issues at the school? So working about the parents, they're in charge of what the kids are eating, the exercise. Should the focus on be educating and changing households rather than the schoolyard?
Let me be clear. We're not trying to change the schoolyard. This is not an intervention in any way. We're just using the school as a convenient place to get data on children to measure them. But to attack obesity and overweight, one should approach it at every level, the school and the home and the policy, the environment, everything.
Right. Well, one of the key reasons for this proposal is to better map out where in Australia childhood obesity thrives so that it can be better targeted. But don't we already know that most low socioeconomic and rural areas demonstrate a high prevalence of obesity and diabetes?
Yeah, we know. We certainly do that. Yeah, we know some of the likely suspects, so to speak. But there are other things we don't know. For example, the distribution in relation to exposure to air pollution, the one I mentioned, the distribution in relation to previous medical treatment exposure to antibiotics. So there are a whole lot of things we don't know. We also don't know the true prevalence. When we have an opt-in system where parents have to volunteer for their children to be measured, there's strong evidence from the Deakin Group, in fact, that actually underestimates and pretty dramatically the actual prevalence of the number of kids who are overweight and obese. So their study found that if you use an opt-in system, the estimated level of obesity using one metric was 10%. But when you use an opt-out system where parents have to tick a box if they don't want their children measured, the prevalence was 14%. So we don't even have an accurate measure of how many kids are obese, let alone the fine detail of where they are.
Well, would this opt-out system, would that potentially influence the outcome?
Well, look, it'd obviously be better to have, well, from one point of view, it'd be better to have an absolutely compulsory system where every single child is weighed, but that's not possible, and that's not something I would like. It's not something I'd promote at all. So the system proposed by Deakin is the opt-out system as opposed to the opt-in system. So opt-in, remember, you just tick a box if you do want your child to be weighed. Opt-out, you tick a box if you don't want your child to be weighed. And it shows opt-out systems always cast a net much wider to get many more people measured if you have opt-out systems. We also should mention, by the way, that if the child shows any reluctance whatsoever to be measured or says he or she doesn't want to be measured, then the measurement's not taken. That's standard research practice.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see where this research goes. That's all the time we've got. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Pleasure to talk to you.